activating jump drive.
Welcome to Jump Drive Radio. Thanks for tuning in again here. We have the extreme pleasure to be sitting here with Bloodline Video's own Baron Von Porkchop.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tom Fox.
It's a pleasure to have you. Sitting around the table as well, we, of course, have Nick, Amber, Lisa, and Matt's hiding in the background somewhere. I'm not sure if he's going to be shy or...
No.
Okay, so he's going to talk tonight.
Yeah. Maybe. So,
thank you for tuning in. We keep making this thing bigger and bigger now that we're on iTunes. I know that's been the easiest way to get everyone's attention, apparently. I thought everyone was going to come to our website, and we get a lot of traffic, but iTunes is really taking off. So tell your friends. Matter of fact, we're going to steal an idea from another podcast that I heard the other day. We're going to do the thing where you download your favorite episode and mail it to five of your friends. So that way that you know we'll have five more people. And then eventually... we'll be able to afford a filter so when Lisa Bunny drinks her, her bottled water on the air.
I'm so parched. I'm not sure why. I get excited about Baron Von Porkchop and it...
Oh, thank you.
Well, speaking of, we do have the Baron here. I'm glad that I've actually had the pleasure to meet you in person, Baron. I know everyone's familiar with the tradition of horror hosts over the years. Starting probably Vampira, she was...
I believe so, isn't that correct?
Probably, yeah. Officially the oldest, yeah.
Vampira and Zachary.
Zachary.
The oldest horror hosts.
Yeah. Speaking of Zachary, you guys are going to be doing, going to see...
we're going to Horror Hound in Indianapolis, Indiana, March 25th through the 27th for the Zachary Tribute. There'll be a ton of horror hosts there, including, of course, Baron Von Porkchop.
I will do that.
Baron is Von Porkchop, Joe Bob Briggs, who else there?
Oh, you caught me off guard with that question. I believe... you already said Joe Bob Briggs, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I believe Count Gregula, right?
Count Gregula.
I was going to ask if Count Gregula was coming.
Yes, yeah, he's going to be there. And Aegas the Ghoul, right?
Aegas the Ghoul.
One of my favorites of all
Count
time.
Count Gore Duvall.
Yes. Fritz the Night Owl.
Fritz the Night Owl. Miss Gory Ray.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Which
will be
there. Who will be sharing a table with is Miss Gory Ray. She's a Canadian actual horror host.
So very
we're
cool.
We're actually really excited to be teaming up with her on this.
It is the international horror hosting table.
Because it's the Hall of Fame.
The great thing about the horror host, there's so many names and so many different takes on the simple basic idea of the guide through the movies. You know, anything in life needs a guide. Whether it's classic literature, Virgil from Dante's Inferno, or Morpheus from The Matrix, you need a guide to guide you. Thank you, Amber.
especially through the journey of some of the crappy movies that we show from the public domain realm.
He says, "Pardon my French, crappy." I say, "Brilliant, brilliant." All of them.
Well, absolutely. I know every episode I've watched, I've enjoyed you guys. A lot of the way that you present the show remind me of the old Dr. Creepshow from the 70s. Also, some of the humor, especially with your neighbor there, Mr. Well, what's your neighbor's name again?
Sleazy Tom.
Yeah, he's a little more crude than I would have expected, but it reminds me of a ghastly ghoul. So
yes, well, he's still a good man. He's very handsome too. You have to admit. Very handsome.
I hear rumors of him being a singer. I wouldn't expect that, but I've heard rumors. So.
Yes, I believe he sings from time to time. To the ladies, I believe.
That sounds very sensual. Well, let's learn a little bit more about Baron Von Porkchop here. Tell us a little bit about your history there. I know that you've been around for a while, right?
Well, here and there I've been around for a while, I guess. I was a slaughterhouse king back in the 1800s. And then I sort of died in a tragic accident that I don't like to talk about too
much. That happened, so...
And then my director here, Mr. Bratsfield, he dug me up, and now I'm a horror host.
The very first episode I watched, it's right after you were dug up, And then you went back to the palatial estate that your manservant, Bean, hadn't taken care of.
Yes, he made me a little angry when I got home, seeing how he gave all of my stuff to Count Von Lamchop.
Hmm.
I still love him.
Now, was Bean with you in the 1800s there, or... he was
probably a
very small boy. And
yes, he was there.
He just doesn't age.
He doesn't age at all. No, he looked exactly the same as he did in the 1800s. Kind of weird, actually.
I didn't even think
of that until you brought it up now. Now I'm thinking.
It's a little spooky.
Well, that's what happens when you have observant fans. Huh? Huh? Speaking of fans, let's talk about the Baroness a little. Tell us a little bit about her.
Everybody wants to know about the Baroness. Well, she's so lovely, isn't she?
Absolutely.
I saw a picture. She does seem lovely.
Oh, she is very lovely, yes. Voted Slaughterhouse Queen 3 years in a row.
Excellent.
Yes, this is how I met her.
She was unable to come with us today, apparently, she's fantastic in the episodes. One of my favorites where you make the wager going door to door selling the sausages.
Yes, that wasn't really my idea. It was some crazy guy around Big Bear. He gave us the idea, really. But yes, I believe I sold many, many sausages that one, right?
Yes.
I sold very.
No, you didn't sell any. You lost that.
Well, she did a good job.
You guys still made money, at least.
Well, yes, that's always good, yes. So.
Well, I suppose the only way to really prove it conclusively is to review the actual episode where this happened. Are these going to be released as a DVD box set, or are you going to release them individually?
Would you like to take that one?
Actually, we're going to be releasing them individually. They're actually all done right now, minus episode 8, which is the season finale.
Okay.
But yeah, the rest of them are all worked on. All we have to do is print out the covers, and they're ready to rock and roll.
Very cool, very cool.
Where will we be able to get them?
Game Swap in Kettering. Of course, any conventions, Horror Hound and whatnot will be there. Online, either through Facebook, our Facebook page, or through baronvonporkchop.com, or even you can get them through bloodlinevideo.com.
I will post links not only on toddthefox.com, but also on jumpdriveradio.com to all the aforementioned websites, so you will not miss an opportunity to see what we're talking about. It's very clever, very entertaining. I would like to say it's a new tradition.
It's definitely a restart, because in the Dayton area, after Dr. Creep, Barry Hobart's health started declining, there was less and less horror hosts. Like Ghastly Ghoul took some time off. Mm-hmm. Dr. Freak stopped doing it after, like a year or so of actually doing shows. And there was just nothing. So I decided to dig up old Baron here. And now we have a new tradition and a new host in town.
And I'm glad you did.
Well, one of the things that we here at Jump Drive Radio were curious about. What are some of your favorite films? I know all the films are probably brand new to you, seeing as you've been buried for 100 years.
Of course. But Mr. Brassfield, director, man here, he showed me a very wide variety of different horror films, action films, comedies, sword and sandal epics, even. And I enjoy them all. It's fascinating, the moving pictures, the people on there. It's amazing.
I could see that. In your time, it probably would have just been daguerreotypes. That would have been just the extent of the actual black and white daguerreotypes.
So, yeah, we had a few.
Sepia daguerreotypes, I suppose.
Yeah, we had a few, but no sound, usually. So.
You told me before Thomas Edison's Frankenstein was your favorite.
Thomas Edison?
Oh,
yes,
the where he's all fuzzy and hairy. Yeah. Yeah. That's that is very obscure.
Every time when we talk about fuzzy Frankenstein.
Well, I could see the Baron being a man who appreciates good facial hair. So.
Oh, well, of course. Yes.
So you dug him up. You decided to dig him up and start showing him movies.
Yeah.
And then from that, the show was born.
It grew. Yeah. I grew into something amazing and special.
When I'm dead and gone, I want you to know where I'm buried. Okay. That sounds like an okay gig to me.
We'll bring you the Todd back.
Well, yeah, well,
wake up, guys!
You're going to assume that missed. Todd's the one that killed her, right?
Well, not
we'll,
likely.
We'll hope that.
Stop making noise.
So help me.
Between me and Hector making noise on the podcast.
We'll hope that the Star Trek style immersive environment media will be, you know, like the holodeck style. that's what I'm planning on.
You've completely lost.
If you love the movies from the 40s and 50s, just wait till we get to the 70s.
I have a ghoul-related question. I've been wondering about this for a couple of days. You're roughly 100 years old. You are roughly 100 years old.
Yes.
What do you eat?
What do I eat? Oh, mostly my pigman sausage. I have a few pigmen running around, grazing. I kill them every once in a while. And that's usually what sustains me.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I've been wondering about that for several days, so I thought I'd take this opportunity to ask.
I don't really have to drink anything.
So it's like an Atkins-style diet where you mostly meat.
Just raw meat.
Very nice.
Yes, pretty much.
Lots of
raw meat.
Protein sustains ghouls. Good to know.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that that the Dear Baron here is anything negative or to be associated with anything negative, but is that a shock? Most undead creatures are sustained by some sort of
No, I just wondered if there were specific dietary regulations for ghouls, as opposed to, say, vampires need blood, zombies need living flesh or brains. Yeah. I was curious.
Once again, though, all these creatures are... They're all, you know, none of them are vegetarian here.
I didn't think you were calling me a creature. That's not very nice.
Oh, please, no disrespect, dear Baron.
No, I just wondered if there were specific regulations for ghouls that were separate from other...
Isn't like ghoul grocery stores? You pretty much have to improvise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just makes his own food. He grazes them and slaughters them.
Exactly. I breed them.
Episode 2, in fact. The pig man.
Right, right.
It's right there.
Yeah.
That's very ecologically sound as well.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, the Baron, oddly enough, is green. We would his carbon footprint is reduced. He's in the local environment.
It's admirable.
Yeah, yes,
very much.
A locavore
to me, but I guess I can go with that.
He's a locavore.
Why did you introduce him to hippies?
I wanted to take him to Yellow Springs. he had to meet all the different cultures, and that was one of them.
Well, at least he's well informed.
And he's done radio interviews there, so we had to drag him through there.
Well, you know, speaking of radio interviews, you know, the Baron is a wonderful film host. Have you had any opportunities to host any other kind of programs or shows or you know, live presentations or anything?
Well, yes, of course. Horrorama. I did not host, but I did get to go up and talk to the biggies.
I see.
So I did get to talk to them there at Horrorama. That was I liked that event a lot.
Now, did you go by yourself, or did you bring the Baroness and Bean?
The Baroness was with me, but Bean could not make it. He had prior engagements.
I see.
But I was also with director Matt Brassfield.
Well, it seems like Matt is taking a lot of care of you there.
Well, yes. I mean, he has to. He dug me up, so.
There's a level of responsibility there.
It's really expensive.
Well, you have to replace all the furniture and everything.
Yes.
Yeah,
so. I know.
Luckily, you had the VHS machine.
Yeah. Bean did save that.
One thing he saved out of all of my stuff.
You didn't even know what it was at first.
Other than Horrorama, do you have any other potential, you know, hosting jobs coming up in the near future?
Well, yes, I believe. Wasn't there one coming up?
Yeah, Wiley's Comedy Club.
That's coming up soon?
Yes, it's coming up. So we'll be at Wiley's hosting a sideshow performance there.
Excellent.
And then, of course, we've done several radio interviews for Wright State Radio and WYSO in Yellow Springs.
Well, also, isn't the Baron's Ball coming up soon?
The Baron's Ball is coming up.
I am excited about that.
let's hear a little bit about the Baron's Ball, if you don't mind.
All right. Baron's Ball is an event that we're going to hold. It's a concert event at Jilly's in Dayton, Ohio. It's on the 26th of February. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's 18 and up. And come dressed. Come like it's Halloween time. We'll have four bands there, including Todd the Fox, which is you.
Thank you.
We'll have Henrik Kudo and the Tallywhacker Express. We'll have Team Void, and we'll have Jasper the Colossal. And then, of course, all the cast and crew of Terrifying Tales of the Macabre will be there, And supposedly other horror hosts are also showing up. So there's going to be other horror hosts there. So
excellent.
I didn't know that.
Yep, it's going to be a huge, supposedly get-together and fun time for everybody.
That sounds lovely. I'm excited.
I think it should be a good time. 18 and up. I know after you guys have invited me to play, I've begun looking for a costume so I can get in the spirit of Halloween in February.
So. Is there a cover charge?
$5
at the door.
All right.
Yeah, the you know, it costs money to put on entertainment.
Absolutely.
But
I think I'm going to rock a corset for this one.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's a good idea. So.
Yes. I know you have one, too. You should come
I do.
Out. This will get real sexy real fast.
Yes,
so.
and if it does well this year, they'll invite us back next year, and it'll be an annual event. Every February, we'll have a Baron's Ball.
Excellent. So. This is the kind of thing that we definitely want to catch on in the area.
Oh,
I love this idea. Love it.
It sounds exciting. And as many costume parties as possible. That's my philosophy.
See, we hope that's what catches on, because we're a little worried that people ain't going to get that you're supposed to come dressed up. I mean, you don't have to. People don't have to feel like they have to, but we encourage it. We want people to have fun and just everybody to get together under the same roof. And
come and meet me. Talk to me.
It's not always about you, Baron. Please.
Although, to be fair, this is the Baron's ball.
Exactly.
So
don't feed Ezekiel.
It's not Matt's ball.
I think
ball.
I'll check it right now. You got the director's ball.
I think what Matt's trying to tell our listeners here, you don't have to come in costume. You don't have to come dressed up. But if you don't want to stand out of the crowd, you want to dress up.
Oh, yeah.
Because most people are going to come dressed up to this. This is going to be quite an occasion. I'm looking forward to it.
Highly encouraged, basically.
Yes.
And it's a good way to break those like winter blues. I've been fighting those, and I'm excited to get dolled up and get out there and be social.
That's a good point. Fight seasonal affective disorder with costumes.
Yeah. Exactly. And Jilly's is a nice club. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there.
I have been there, but I've never been invited to play there. So I'm very excited about it. Yeah, this is a day of note in my personal history. So.
So people can become like a Facebook fan of yours and get additional information as it develops?
Oh, yes. We have a Facebook page for Baron Von Porkchop's Terrifying Tales of the Macabre, or you can just befriend me on there, Matt Brassfield from Dayton, Ohio, and I usually update mine, too, about what me and the Baron are up to.
Excellent.
Like, as of right now, we just posted on our site that we are recording this podcast with you guys.
Excellent. The more people that hear about it, the better off we'll be.
And also bloodlinevideo.com. We also...
Well,
like stuff on that for the Baron.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's the the production company there. So that's how I'm aware of the Baron. So, well, I don't know if you guys have any more questions for these gentlemen.
Out of the films you've seen, is there a certain genre? I know horror seems to be your foremost, but are there any others like sci-fi or fantasy that you have a secondary interest in?
I do enjoy the sci-fi. The sci-fi is very good. But I also enjoy sword and sandal films, with the Ulysses against the son of Hercules.
Ah.
I enjoy that film thoroughly.
Well, that's one of the sections. Jump Drive Radio is based on science fiction, but the definition of science fiction is very broad. So we kind of encompass not only horror films but also fantasy films, which one of the offshoots of fantasy would be the
sword and sandals.
This is why you're perfect for our show.
Do you have an all-time favorite film that you've watched, hosted?
Well, I have so many favorites, it's hard to say.
Is it Harry Frankenstein?
No. It's a good, that's a good film, yes. But I believe I would have to say I do enjoy the older classic films. Like Phantom of the Opera, Dracula, things of that nature. The old Frankenstein, Universal's Frankenstein. I do like those a lot. Those are probably my favorite ones. Too bad we'll probably never be able to show them on the show, but...
Phantom of the Opera again.
Oh, Phantom of... Oh,
really?
See, yeah.
Excellent.
That'll be good.
Well, I think really the lesson to our listeners here are once these DVDs become available, you need to buy these DVDs directly from Bloodline Video, because the more you support the artists, the more you support the producers, the more you support the people who are creating the show for you, is the more money they can reinvest into the show, which is the better quality and better content they can show you. So if you want to see the Baron review The Matrix, you need to buy quite a few DVD copies.
Yes. And what kind of stuff can we look forward to for the next season?
Oh, the second season, we won't be so much in the manor. We're going to take the Baron and Baroness and Bean and Sleazy Tom. And actually, we have some new characters that are also going to be showing up in the second season. We're going to be taking them out of even Ohio, and they're going to be all over the place. It's going to be a fun time. One of the things, I'll give a spoiler, it's not until later in a season. It's not going to be the second season. But we are taking the Baron Von Porkchop and his butler, Bean, to find the Mothman.
Oh, so that'll be
wow. That is very cool.
That sounds amazing.
I'm very excited for that. Yes, I believe we're even going to go to Point Pleasant,
yes, we
Virginia.
Are.
Wow. Oh my gosh!
We're
yes.
going to go there and we're going to shoot him, trying to find the Mothman.
Yes.
We have a few other little surprises of some classic Ohio landmarks that will be making appearances. So it's going to be a fun time.
Sounds like you bought a copy of Haunted Ohio.
No, we're not doing two.
Wait, did I just give you season four there?
No, actually, the best part is I'm planned all the way up to season five already. It should be season six.
Well, speaking of these seasons, obviously they're going to be available for purchase, but as with any good media, you want to at least try to watch it when it comes on initially, so you can be the first one to see it, so you can be the first one to post about it on the internet, first one to talk about it with your friends, and be in the know. When does the Baron Von Porkchop's show air?
We technically air what DATV calls it is Saturday morning at midnight, but it's easier just to say Friday night at midnight.
Right.
On DATV, which is Time Warner Cable's Channel 5. And then we also live stream from DATV.org if you go to their live stream at midnight as well.
That's where I'm familiar with it. Being a musician, I can't afford cable, but I do have the internet. So
we're popping up on a few other stations coming up. We are going to be on, hopefully, MVCC.
Oh, wow.
Miami Valley Cable Council. We meet with them actually Tuesday about getting onto their station. We're going to be on the Monster Channel, which we just have to send them stuff, and then the Monster Channel is going to work it out where we're going to be on. And then I always say this one, Ron, I think it's Atomic TV. We will be on there as well, which is also a streaming TV station online.
Okay. I have watched Monster TV before. Yeah, that's an excellent channel. Yeah. They have quite a few quality programs that they show.
And what's really neat is on the Monster Channel, when you can get on there, on their website and watch the live feed, they have a chat room right next to it. So if me and the Baron are on, people can actually ask us questions as the show's going on.
That's cool. Cool.
That's very cool.
That's
excellent.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to teach him how to use a computer, but...
Well, you can just type for me.
That's true. Yeah. Now Bean can do it.
Yeah, Bean, yes. He's
you have to pay him for something.
He's computer savvy, isn't he? I believe so. I don't know.
Well, he's never died, so, I mean, he's...
Yeah, he probably knows something.
He knows it. I'm sure he does.
Well, we appreciate the two of you taking the time. I know your schedules are very busy. Thank you very much for talking to us here at Jump Drive.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
It was our pleasure, Todd the Fox.
But before we end it, Todd...
Okay.
I need to talk to you about 5 minutes to live.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
One of your favorite.
Absolutely.
Your favorite show that we showed so far, the movie, is 5 minutes to live. Don't you die, boy.
Don't you die on me. My favorite part was where his name really is Johnny Cabot. I'm convinced it was originally supposed to be Daniel Cabot or like William Cabot. I'm like, all right, Daniel, we're going to need you on. Who? All right, just go on the other side if you don't mind. We're going to have Daniel stand here. Who? Damn it. Johnny Cabot, get over there.
So was that your favorite movie we've shown so far?
Actually, I will be honest, House on Haunted Hill, probably. Honestly,
yes.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's probably got a lot of people. That is a very classic film.
There's nothing better than when he gets her down in the pit where that acid is, and he just freaks her out to the point of, oh my God.
The skeleton on a strain?
Yeah, it falls for it, and oh, it's just amazing. By the way, 60 years old, 50 years old, something like that?
Yeah.
And I honestly think it stands up with that same kind of suspense as a modern film.
Yeah, I think most.
I would agree.
A lot of those do, like the Vincent Price films and things like that are still really freaking scary.
Their version of I Am Legend, the...
Last Man on Earth.
Thank you, thank you.
Is it the Omega Man? Is that a different one?
No, that was actually the second...
Well, basically the way it goes, you had the novel, I Am Legend.
Which Will Smith let the dog die.
Hey, hold
so
on.
Mad.
We'll get to Will Smith in a minute. You have the
Wild Wild West. Oh.
Wow. You have the novel, I Am Legend, and then they made a Vincent Price movie called The Last Man on Earth, mm-hmm. and it's still the same basic idea of him, you know, during the day surviving in a post-apocalyptic nightmare scenario, but at night the screaming vampires coming to get at him, and just him locking down the door and them wailing and screaming and clawing at them.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I love it.
I'm telling you, mm-hmm. anything that I've seen in the last 10 years doesn't stand up to that. But then they made the Omega Man in late 60s, early 70s?
I think it's late 60s, yeah. Late 60s, like 70s, yeah. Somewhere around there.
Same bit, yeah. And then, of course, Lisa's favorite, I Am Legend.
He let the dog die.
Which I was not a fan of.
I never saw I Am Legend. I read the book. I saw Omega Man. I never saw the original Last Man on Earth.
Oh.
Well, apparently I need to watch it.
Well, possibly
get some sort of credit for reading the book.
Yes.
No.
We don't do books. We do film.
I'll have to get on that. I would like to see it anyway. If it's got Vincent Price in it, I'm in.
I know.
Well, I'm sure that the so Baron and Mr. Brassfield can help you with finding a copy.
All right.
Yeah, they are.
We'll just air it sometime.
You know, that's the nice thing about shows like this is. I remember when I was younger, I spent an awful lot of time trying to hunt down these old movies. And when shows like this come on in, they just, you don't have to look for it. They'll find, you know, little gems and things that you never maybe would have thought of or things that you might not be able to find if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And they bring them back to life. I love that. I really love that.
Yeah, one of the cool things about our show, too, is that we don't have to edit the actual movie. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing is usually pretty much all the way through. So besides the host segments, if you actually wanted to see the movie, it's the actual movie the way it is.
I think we've only snipped
one movie, and that was Driller Killer, and it was because there was some nudity, and
we weren't sure how
cool they were with us on that yet, and we snipped out a little bit, but then they were like, no, you can show nudity, and we're like, awesome.
I was going to ask you, is there any, you know, I know the radio has FCC rules. After 11 p.m., you can pretty much get away with whatever you like. They don't want you to, but, you know, legally, you can do what you want after 11. Is it the same thing with television?
TV, yeah. For public access, that's why they put us on at midnight, mm-hmm. which is also really cool because they put us on at the old Shock Theater in a Ghastly Movie Show time slot. So we just basically took that spot, the classic spot, and they told us that we can pretty much get away with anything besides, you know, what normally you couldn't, like hardcore porn and stuff, but we would never do any of that kind of stupid stuff anyway.
Right. That, you leave that to Pirate TV.
Yeah. That's Pirate TV's place.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming and meeting with us here. If any of our listeners are interested, like Mr. Brassfield said, DATV Channel 5 here in the Miami Valley, or since we are technically international on the internet, datv.org, they have a live stream. I'm going to post links on jumpdriveradio.com, also toddthefox.com. Please don't forget to check baronvonporkchop.com. And
that's right, yes.
And
good friend Daniel Shepard.
Yes, yes. Dan Shepard, who actually just started up our fan club.
Yes.
We actually now have an official fan club.
That's fantastic.
After we wrap here, guys, I'm going to have to get on the list somehow. I'm hoping I get at least a button out of the deal.
Actually working on buttons. Funny you said that. There's actual buttons being made.
I believe he's going to have meetings and all kinds of things for fans. And I may make an appearance here and there.
Excellent. I always enjoy when I get to see you in person, Baron.
Thank you.
But, yeah, for our listeners, a good way to familiarize, you know, as a reminder, familiarize yourself with Baron Von Porkchop and actually get to meet them in person and be introduced to all this is to come out to the Baron's Ball. And I think that's definitely something we want to promote. We're all going to be there.
The Baron's Ball in downtown Dayton, Ohio, February 26th at 9 p.m. It's 18 and up, so you need to find a babysitter. But make sure you put on a costume and bring a $5 bill. And if $5 seems too much for you, understand that you can't get a value meal at McDonald's right now for less than $5.
And you get four great bands.
Absolutely.
You know. Got Todd the Fox and Lisa Bunny.
With the washboard player.
We got Henry Udo and the Tallywhacker Express. We got Team Void and Jasper the Fossil.
All amazing bands. I'm sure those are our local listeners are probably familiar with them. They've been around for a few years, all these bands, and they're amazing talents. Plus, I'm hoping to actually get to meet Sleazy Tom in person.
Sleazy Tom will be there.
So.
Yes, he'll be there. He'll be there, all right.
In all of his clock coat glory.
So, signing off here for the Baron Von Porkchop and Matt Brassfield, this is Todd the Fox saying, stay spooky.
We'll be back with more Jump Drive Radio after this.
Come on down to GameSwap and meet our friendly staff and see our assortment of DVDs, VHS, old school video games like NES, SNES, Genesis, and many, many more. We also have new games on Xbox, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3. We also have an extensive music collection, including vinyl. So come on down to GameSwap at the corner of Woodman and Dorothy in the Woodland Plaza and feed your nostalgia.
That was a pretty cool interview we did with the Baron.
He's a super cool guy.
I really like his mutton chops. You don't see mutton chops all that often anymore.
Yeah.
He's old. You know, he's 100 years old.
He's what we call old school.
Old school mutton chops.
Yeah, he's bringing it back.
Very stylish indeed.
I'm a sucker for the top hat, too, I'll be honest with you.
Definitely.
It was a good time to bring him back from the dead because all that steampunk and old-timey stuff is coming back in fashion.
So. Yeah, at conventions and stuff, you'll see costumes. Steampunk is huge right now.
So he definitely fits in, I feel. Yeah.
I should see if he can get me a bowler hat. I've been kind of looking for one of those. So.
Bowler hats never go out of style. Not seriously.
I always think Lord Bowler.
They do, but Lord Bowler.
From Briscoe County Jr.
Well, we can say Derby if you like.
Brown Derby.
It's a same style.
I think bowler.
Yeah, bowler.
Yeah,
bowler
is way cooler.
I think bowler is the British version. Derby is the American version.
Then automatically bowler is cooler.
Automatically, yeah.
Typically, if it's British, it's better.
At least for the Jump Drive audience.
Yeah. The beer, the hats.
The shows.
The television, the
definitely
comedy.
The right, shows. Yes,
yep. Yeah.
Can't believe they redid Being Human, an American version. I fell in love with that show, the British version.
I never saw the British version. I saw the first
excellent.
Episode of the new one.
Okay, I haven't seen the new one yet.
I'm not familiar with Being Human at all. I don't know what you guys are talking
about. I can
tell.
They play on BBC America on Fridays or Saturdays.
Okay, well, what's
cable.
The premise of the show?
Basically, a ghost, a werewolf, and a vampire all live together in a house as flatmates. And they're really, like... They're really cool and interesting to watch. Like, it's, I can't...
The guy that plays the vampire in the new version on Sci-Fi was in The Force Unleashed.
Really?
He's the main character. Yeah, he's... And then I think he's actually in The Force Unleashed, too. They cloned him or brought him back.
Very weird.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Well, speaking of Star Wars...
So, Jump Drive Radio has been continuing to watch the Star Wars saga. I think we finally made it up to Episode 3.
Finally.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge.
Yes.
I always get that confused with Return of the Jedi, because originally, I guess, it was supposed to be Revenge of the Jedi.
I think I read that.
But they didn't test well or whatever, so they turned to Return of the Jedi. So, anyway, Revenge of the Sith.
Which makes sense in that context, actually. The Return of the Jedi makes more sense than, I think, Revenge of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Although, I guess, really, it could go either way.
Where did the Jedi get revenge? Did I miss that part? I mean, I saw
the
Sith get revenge.
In Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, the original
revenge.
Title was...
By
be...
revenge, yeah, they actually, you know, killed the two most evil...
I see.
...beings in the galaxy.
But by nature, they're not supposed to be vengeful, so that's kind of like... We returned and we happened to kill this guy, but it wasn't because he screwed us over before.
Vengeance
that would...
is the mind killer.
Yeah, vengeance leads to fear, and fear leads to the dark side or something.
We've watched Revenge of the Sith. I know I really enjoyed it. It was, okay, that sounds emphatic. Let's reel that back in for a second. Of the three prequels, it is my favorite. I like it probably for the reason that Nick doesn't like it, because... There's no more new surprises. There's nothing that can just get made up and destroy the universe. we just have to hit the highlights. We just have to go through there. And in the Clone War, we have to put Anakin in place. We have to show everyone who Palpatine is. We have to execute Order 66. We have to burn Anakin alive. Then we have to birth Luke and Leia. Yes. Problem solved.
Right.
Although all of that going together in one movie, I felt like that made it seem a little rushed. Like they had screwed around so much in the movie before it, you know, with the whole romance between Anakin and Padme.
Romance is such a strong term.
For just like, I like you. Like whatever that was that apparently they were in love.
Whatever. Yeah.
Infatuation.
Yeah.
Except it was like the most anticlimactic, boring infatuation ever.
Precisely. And then that draws.
You say that, but I'm convinced both of them actually had undiagnosed personality disorders or mental disorders. I have to save you. Save me from what? From my dreams. What?
God.
Yes. And Padme, she's all over the place.
Well, looking back to the first movie, Queen Amidala and Padme were both so different.
Aren't they the same person?
Yeah, but I mean, each of them individually were totally different from where she becomes, like, the person she becomes in the second and the third one.
Mm-hmm. Schizophrenia bordering on multiple personality disorder.
Like, she's got dissociative identity disorder. Right. With Senator Sybil here is like, I love you. Oh, don't do this. Oh, you killed these people. I love you. She's terrible.
I don't know. She seemed, what was she doing? I mean, I know she was a senator at that point. But it seemed like she didn't actually do anything. She was like a stay-at-home mom without kids.
Yeah, it seems like they talked about nobody knew that she was pregnant and she had to make sure no one knew that she was pregnant. But she's big as a house.
Yeah.
And she's staying in that hotel suite, like, all the time. I mean, she's huge. She can barely walk.
Well, maybe it was that nobody can know who the father is. Maybe it's commonplace for senators to go around getting knocked up and people not asking questions as to who?
That's true. I think we talked in an earlier episode about how it's weird that it doesn't seem like she has any suitors or anything like that, even though she's a wealthy woman of power.
Yeah.
But, you know, no one's vying for her hand. She's just secretly married to Anakin, and that's it. Now apparently she's secretly knocked up, and no one notices.
Well, can you blame her? He's such a catch.
Oh, yeah.
In his defense, though, I will say I thought his acting was better in this one. I don't know if it's experience, but it is a lot better than episode 2.
I would agree.
He's acting a lot harder.
Which is not to say that it was good.
Well, I mean, this was more writing on this movie, and I think he kind of almost stepped up to it.
I see what you're saying, but I think there's a lot of times where he's glaring instead of brooding. I think glaring works better in a visual medium. When he's just glaring at you, just seething with hatred and anger versus, like, brooding, like, turning it in on himself or whining or, you know, stamping his feet and throwing his shoulders back. One of the reasons I like this one so well is all the action really takes the focus off of the bad, you know, character writing.
Right. The bad dialogue, even some of the bad acting. The action scenes were really good. Some of the lightsaber battles were awesome.
The opening scene where they've got the Jedi fighters.
It's awesome. Which,
that's absolutely how a space battle should be done. There's all kinds of, you know, great action. It's done in a three-dimensional environment. They still don't get the gravity problem right when you're in orbit. If the ship tilts to the left, you still have artificial gravity that pulls you to the bottom of the ship, not to the left of the ship. It's not like the artificial gravity tilted to the left. So that's a little weird, but okay, it's dramatic. And it's a kid's movie,
it's
ultimately.
It's a galaxy far, far away.
I would say that one is not a kid's movie.
Yeah, a lot of kids die in that movie.
The scene where he catches on fire and loses 3 of his 4 limbs is really graphic.
Oh, the best part about
that is graphic, yeah.
The best part is,
I let my kids see that.
Padme, when Obi-Wan goes back on the ship, she's like, is Anakin okay?
Like, he's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, dropped and rolled down the hill.
I didn't cut off his legs and leave him burning on the bottom of a hill.
Seriously, I mean, that is cold as ice.
Great kids movie talk.
He doesn't cut off his head. He just leaves him there in horrible pain.
Well, he cut off the legs, didn't he?
He cut off 2 legs and an arm, and then he catches on fire. And Obi-Wan just like, do-do-do-do-do,
yeah,
and he leaves.
Obi-Wan's having his emotional breakdown, and Anakin's trying to claw up the hill to get to him, and the dirt keeps giving out, and that's how he gets down to the fire.
And just goes right up like he's
soaked in kerosene.
Yeah, and then he just leaves him there to burn.
It's basically the, I hate you, I loved you, Anakin.
You were my brother.
You were supposed to be the chosen one. You were supposed to bring balance to the forest, not cover it in darkness, not this big soliloquy. What do you have to say for yourself?
I want my legs back.
It hurts. It was
pretty enjoyable at that point for me.
I'm going to go ahead and go on record. This is probably going to alienate our female fan base, but I'm going to say having 3 of your limbs chopped off and burned up is not equal to childbirth. I feel like childbirth is bad.
I don't think there's anybody who would disagree with you there.
Yeah. But they kind of like superimpose the scenes, like where he's got his like beef jerky looking charred flesh.
Yeah.
Where he's getting...
And then she's all smooth looking like, ah, look at my good teeth. Ah.
And they were all watching her, which I thought was kind of weird. Like, I've obviously not had kids, but they were like all watching her through like a glass window giving childbirth, which I thought, I mean, that's kind of a weird situation.
Honestly, this is my biggest beef with this film, is that for the first 2 films, they build Padme up to be this strong woman, you know, she frees herself in that arena scene in the Clone War, and then she dies of sadness while she has these 2 babies she's supposed to take care of. Like, she's giving birth to these babies.
That's
no
right.
No maternal instinct, anything like that. She just dies.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I don't feel any maternal responsibility for these babies. I'm going to name them and then die. And I don't care what happens to them.
That could be an explanation, or possibly that's just what we heard from the Tobey Maguire bot.
We don't understand. She's just lost the will to live.
Can we get a real doctor in here, please?
Yeah, seriously. And they're like,
I've been shaking her as hard as I can.
Yeah. I keep poking her. I don't know what the problem is. But, like, yeah, like, she dies of sadness. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with her.
It happens to the best of us.
She's got those babies to take care of. Come on.
Was it a combination of, like, the sadness and being force gripped?
No.
Because, I mean, she got kind of jacked up there.
She did kind of get jacked up there, but they don't mention that. I feel like they would have.
She wasn't choking herself that hard when she was.
No, she looks,
I can tell.
She looks pretty blue
red
when he drops her, though.
Yeah.
She does, but she keeps talking. Like, Anakin, but she's still getting enough air to talk. She says, like, 5 things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's theatrical.
It's...
Well, ultimately, I think what it comes down to is, Lucas, this just shows what he really feels about women and, well, female characters, but women by extension, I would say.
Yeah.
Once you've served your purpose, which is to get knocked up and birth Luke and Leia,
mm-hmm.
Oh, we're just done writing your part. You're like, you're going to stand here until those things have been incubated long enough for them to hatch. You can just go ahead and die.
And if I recall correctly, I think Leia in the 3rd movie, she's talking about her mother. And I guess now we can assume but she talks about her mother and she says, oh, she was beautiful and she was always sad. Well, why would that adoptive mother be sad?
Well, possibly because...
I just assumed that was bad writing.
Possibly because the entire galaxy had been taken over and from what was a free republic of star systems.
That's true, but I mean, they seem to indicate that was Leia's real mother.
We'll have to see when we get to that.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's not fair to jump ahead because it's...
True.
Yeah, we need to...
We'll make that determination. I'm not a bunny, so let's not jump ahead. That's 4 rooms with Quentin Tarantino.
I love them.
I know. I love it. Anyway, Star Wars.
Okay, so out of all of, you know, there's just a crap load of really bad acting, really bad writing. How awesome is Ewan McGregor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It was like he was channeling Alec Guinness. He must have watched tape after tape after tape of the original Obi-Wan. He was amazing. His body language, the way he delivered the lines, he was amazing.
I would almost say in terms of acting, he carried the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really, really.
Which I think is another reason why it's my favorite of the 3 prequels, yeah. Because he is the shining star. Actually, I thought the guy who did Palpatine, actually, when he's, like, doing the evil bits, he's, like, dead on. Like,
yeah.
But when he's trying to be subtle, it's a little heavy-handed and Mike Myers-ish.
But is that...
Yeah.
Did you ever hear... Of the Legend of Darth Plagueis?
That's more of a
And the way he keeps doing those, like, they're watching the opera or telling this pivotal story about Darth What's-His-Name who discovered the power of life over death and all this stuff. And
by the way, someone who's able to create life in Darth What's-His-Name.
Darth What's-His-Name. Like, he can manipulate midichlorians and then he'll turn his whole head and stare right at Anakin.
Oh, it's
3 or
it's
4 times
Austin
the scene,
Powers.
Like,
yeah, it's bad.
Like, I'm acting at you, kind of thing. It's very dramatic, but a little like cartoon villain
this
cheesy.
Is significant.
I'm going to slow down my speech.
And stare at you.
Yeah, obviously he had that problem, but I'm absolutely on board with Ewan McGregor. I hate to admit it, but it took me about two movies to dig Ewan McGregor. Everything I've seen him in, I really enjoy anything he does. And he's one of these guys who, you know, it's him because, like, whether he's, you know, like a terrible night, what, 1880s, what was that, Moulin Rouge, where he's singing all the modern songs in the 1800s, or whether it's, he was in Big Fish, right?
He was in Big Fish. He was in Train Spotting.
The Island.
Train Spotting
is.
I've not seen The Island. People keep telling
people
me
tell it's not either. Very good. I mean, people say it's not. I liked it though. It's.
Is Jessica Alba in that?
No, it's Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
That's what's turning me off. I haven't seen it yet. I can't stand her.
Oh, it's sci-fi-ish.
They're clones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's pretty hardcore sci-fi.
Well, and they don't really do anything other than they just like hang out and then they get like lottery tickets to go to this island. And that's the theme. I mean, there's no, like, it's just a sci-fi setting rather than anything.
I see. Well, speaking of clones, how awesome would it have been to get the gig as the clone? Like, every one of those guys, every time they took their helmet off?
Yeah.
Speaking of the clones, though, I know we're kind of jumping out of order here with the movie. We're supposed to do this chronologically. But, you know, as these ideas pop into our heads, we kind of flow with them. Commander Cody, specifically, has been working with General Kenobi, right? So
yes.
Obi-Wan has been pals with this guy. He's, like, pals enough with him to, like, he drops his lightsaber and he brings it back to him. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. As soon as Palpatine comes to order, he just happens to hit the button on the transmitter across the galaxy.
Execute Order 66.
And, like, everyone's like, weren't we just friends with him? No, we gotta kill him.
And everybody
does. Well, they don't even question it. They just like,
okay.
Yeah,
all right, Order 66, like, everybody knew about it.
What are you doing, Steve? Did you get the message? Do we really have to? She's pretty hot. She's got those weird gray bluish things off her head, but still. I know, but we still have to shoot her.
And none of the Jedi got any warning. Use your feelings. Predict what's happening. No, everybody's like, oh my gosh, what? Dead.
Well, right before, some of them are like, into battle. Wait, where are you guys? Huh?
Turns around and then they're all standing there shooting at him.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he would have detected them stopping, raising their weapons before he turns around.
Yeah, and the Jedi are, you know, usually somebody comes around the corner and shoots at them spontaneously, and they've got their lightsabers out, and they at least have some sort of battle. No, all of them drop like bowling pins.
Right, yeah. from a moving vehicle.
Yeah. That one lady is like, what was that? Why are you guys slowing down? Dead.
I do like, I'm really not a Yoda fan at all, but I do like the fact that on Kashyyyk, that whole scene where he's like, okay, I guess we have to kill him. And he walks over to the other guy and he's like, this is the one, we're supposed to do the thing. And Yoda just is like,
yes.
Yeah,
that was awesome. When he was going in to talk to Palpatine. Yeah, he's going in to talk to Palpatine. He walks in the door, and those two guys are just
throws
like,
them.
Yeah,
flings them against the wall. Like, out of my way, I'm Yoda.
By the way, if I had Force push powers, I'd be doing that to you guys all the time. Just
it's a given.
Yep.
I did like how they kind of, I don't know, it brought in the Wookiees. I thought it was kind of cool. Give them a little bit of backstory and stuff.
I liked it. I hated them. And then they were like, all right, I'll see you. Yoda's like, I'll see you later. I'll see you later, Wookiee guy. I'll see you later, Chewbacca.
Yeah, that's heavy-handed. I don't like the fact that Anakin makes C-3PO, right?
Yes.
Anakin grows up with C-3PO, sort of kind of in and out of his weird messed up life.
Yeah.
Right? Up until he's like hacked to bits. So then at the end of this movie, they're like, all right, take the protocol droid and wipe his memory, and then do something else with a little blue trash can. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't worry about wiping his memory. He can, no one can understand him anyway. So,
except that everybody can understand
him. Right, everyone can understand
Particularly
him.
Particularly the other one that you're going to wipe can understand him. Why are what?
Right, so we're just to assume, like, that's why 3PO doesn't know anything about anything while he's stumbling through episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
But multiple times I'll have to watch the movies again, but doesn't Vader run into these robots? And there's never one time where he's like, oh, that's that robot that I made.
His mind. Right.
Oh dear.
Also, he'll talk to R2-D2 all the time. He couldn't tip somebody off at some point in the next three movies. Everybody talks to him like they understand what those beeps mean.
And he's not subtitled, which is frustrating. Because I want to know what he's on about all the time.
See, at the very least, in the Star Trek universe, they have the universal translator implants to where they can understand what everyone's saying most of the time.
Well, I just decide, like, with Chewbacca, anytime he makes a noise, he's saying, Wookiee! You know, like, that's his battle cry, that's his everything.
So his answer to everything.
I'll just fill in the blank myself. If you're not going to give me subtitles and I'm outside the joke, whatever.
Or like in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where everybody gets a babblefish.
Yeah.
In their ear, it translates.
Even when once you've ridden in the TARDIS one trip, whatever the TARDIS, whatever energy it has, gets into you.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can understand the language of any time and place throughout, you know, history and space-time or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Except for the Ood, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah.
You could understand the Ood, but it was the weird demon thing that lived on the bottom of that planet. That was supposed to be the devil.
That was like the Satan pit.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing that even the doctor was like, right. I don't know what this says. What?
What? Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes! you were talking about the Wookiee translation.
Wookiee!
We watched this with the subtitles on, and one of the translations for the Wookiee, you know, when the Wookiees are yelling, was Tarzan yell.
Like it, in parentheses.
During the battle, when he swings down to the weird machine.
Tarzan yell. Really?
So they're familiar with Tarzan.
Yes, they're familiar with Tarzan. A long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Before Tarzan was written.
Well, he's just one of those things that it's immortal.
Well, right. That's time goes
the Jungian archetype of Tarzan. Yeah.
We know from Doctor Who that time isn't linear. It's more wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yes.
So I'm sure there's some way they would be familiar with Tarzan.
One of the things we talked about was there's a scene where Obi-Wan, after all the younglings have been killed and all that stuff, Obi-Wan and Yoda, I think, are walking through the Jedi Temple, and there's, like, murdered Jedi laying all over the place. We were trying to figure out why sometimes the Jedi fade away. The bodies fade away, and sometimes they don't. Like, they're, you know, there's just corpsified Jedi laying all over the place. And why?
If I remember right, I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but I do remember when we watched The Phantom Menace, why didn't Qui-Gon fade away? And, like, I never understood that. He just, like, gets this dumb look on his face and falls down. Well, sometimes, sometimes they fade away and sometimes they don't. And, okay, maybe there's something about the Padawan, like the younglings, who they're not really trained Jedi. But definitely the conehead with the beard, he's definitely one of the head council
guys.
Master,
right?
Yeah. He's one of the head of the council. Like, he's not just a master, he's a head of a council.
Maybe it's like they, like, have specialties. Maybe some people can be more aggressive in terms of, like, not necessarily lightning, but, like, force push and things like that. Well, some might be more...
good at fading away when they die?
Fading away and healing or something? I don't know.
I guess if you played Knights of the Old Republic, you have so many points to each attribute if you want to spend them all on fading away when you die.
Just to make things easier on people. Now, they did talk about at the end of this one, Qui-Gon's ghost or whatever, Qui-Gon's spirit is coming back to train... Obi-Wan.
So maybe it disappeared later on, like, cutscene.
Or maybe, like, if you stick around, you can come back to train someone later.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well,
Does anybody say that, but Yoda
definitely faded away.
That's true.
Yeah, and he definitely showed up at the end of that one.
That's true. And
palling around while the Ewoks were partying.
I think he's like the epitome of Jedi, though. I'm pretty sure he knows everything. So maybe...
And yet he didn't see this coming. Like, nope, I'm really frustrated by that fact. Nobody saw this coming.
He was, like, one of the only Jedis to figure out that the lowly stormtroopers were about to hack him into bits.
That's true.
He does have that fact.
I was talking to my brother earlier about... because I was confused about what race Yoda might have been from. Because as far as I know, there aren't any others. But he said there's a female Jedi named Yaddle or something like that.
Yaddle?
Yeah, who is actually from... I don't know. He's actually... She's actually one of the same race that
Yoda
was.
That would be cool to see.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that.
She probably just looks just like Yoda, only with a pink bow. Like back in the day, that's how you could tell the difference.
Hair,
like Mrs. Pac-Man style.
Yeah.
You know which one's the girl, because she's got the bow. And sometimes the eyelashes.
I wonder if that's like just some of the companion books or something. They talk about it.
Yeah, it might have been.
Well, I get a little frustrated as far as the Star Wars universe goes because I'm so familiar with some of these games, and there are so many interesting characters presented in the games, But I feel like as far as alien races go, particularly women, but also just in general, alien races go, most of the main characters look human-y. And that's kind of frustrating because it feels like the alien races are just there for the novelty or just there to, I don't know. Yeah. I would have liked to see some more like major characters of, you know, some of the different races, other than Yoda, I mean.
Yeah. So. Well, I know we're about done with this.
I don't know how long our listeners will listen to us babble. I could talk about this all day.
Yeah, me too, but I think a good note for us all to end on is, what did you guys think of the no line at the end?
Well, I did not see this one in theaters when it came out years ago. I fell for The Phantom Menace, and I backed off on the other two. So I actually watched the other two on like HBO or whatever when they came out. Oddly enough, I've seen this one, and I feel like I need to sneak this in. General Grievous, I absolutely love him. I don't want to finish this without saying this. I do want to point out that he's not a Jedi. He's not a Sith. He doesn't have any special mystical powers. He's just awesome enough to be nearly killed, put back into a cybernetic suit to live, has apparently asthma, and is able to murder Jedi and collect their lightsabers.
And a complete badass.
Right, yeah.
That could be you.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm... Yeah. Like, I was stuck having to be Vader with the whole asthma thing, but now I can just be Grievous.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit cooler. Four arms.
General Kenobi.
Well, I loved that he made note to tell Obi-Wan... I was trained by Count Dooku, and like his training apparently is just take four arms with four lightsabers and spin them as fast as you can.
That's exactly how I would fight. It's mechanical.
Can you imagine Dooku trying to explain to him how to use a lightsaber? No, I'm just gonna spin them as fast as I can, as crazy as I can, because I'm a robot.
I do have to say that back to the no part. When I saw it in the theaters, the entire theater erupted in laughter.
It's
that
pretty
no
hilarious, though.
Like, no! And everyone started laughing.
I saw it opening night, and I don't recall that kind of response. I don't know. It seemed like a more somber crowd.
Really? I saw it a couple of days later, and everyone started laughing.
Well, I just like the way he kind of Frankenstein, like, gets out of the, you know, apparatus that he was strapped down to, and then, you know... Palpatine leans in and is like, oh, no, you killed your wife.
Oh, by the way.
No!
Well, that's a good point. I've seen this, because it was on HBO, I've seen the end of this movie several times. I always seem to pick it up where Grievous and Kenobi fight it out and then watch it to the end for some reason. At least close to the end. I've turned it off, but... I usually turn it off when Luke and Leia are born, to be honest with you, but...
Luke! Leia!
Oompa! Tunka!
One thing.
The no thing, though, when I first saw it, it just felt rushed. Like, that's my, like Lisa was saying earlier, that's the big complaint. Like, there's a lot of points to hit, and we've wasted too much time in Attack of the Clones, so we've got to fast forward through a lot of stuff. We've got to lop Dooku's head off. We've got to get Grievous onto this alien planet. We've got to hunt Grievous down, so on and so forth. Well, that whole scene feels rushed. They put him together quickly as Vader, and, you know, the mask comes down, which, by the way, I don't know if you counted, but like as soon as that thing seals down and does that weird click for the hermetic seal, and then it's another like 4 seconds until the air comes on in the thing, you know he was under that mask going, oh my god, I can't breathe! Seriously, turn it! Jeez, thank you.
That's probably why I said no.
Right, yeah.
No!
Well, and he gets... I've seen this scene several times now, and especially this time I was watching it with the intent of like, tell someone about this scene. He gets up and, like you said, Palpatine, Darth Sidious, goes, oh, Lord Vader, I'm sorry. This is the one time that I'm afraid of you and not bossing you around, but it seems that you killed your wife. No!
Yeah.
And when he does that, like, the only thing that went through my head was, wait, no, you really almost did force choke her to death. What do you mean, no?
You possibly could have killed her.
I couldn't have. No! Which, I don't know. I didn't think it was funny, but I'm kind of with Nick.
I thought it was really funny.
I don't know. Maybe I'm identifying with the character a little better, but...
Because of that one time you tried to kill...
No, it's all the force chokes that I try to do on people. Yeah. Well, the people do the I'm crushing your head thing. I do the force choke. I'm crushing your head. I'm force choking your neck.
You use the same voice, though.
Yeah. Either way.
They're at the end. I don't know. I don't understand why they showed it. They showed, like, the Death Star.
They're starting to build it, yeah.
Once again, they have to hit all the highlights.
But, I mean, you know it takes, what, 20 years for Luke and Leia? And they're, like, still only that far. But then you see from like, what is it, 4 to 5? They pretty much get just as far again. And it's, like, passing them just a few years.
Well, the first time you make something, you have to work the bugs out, right?
It's hard to build stuff in space.
Yeah, but the second time, you kind of know what to do the second time.
I just assumed it was like the construction on 70 and I-70 and I-75 here, where, you know, it's been going on for like 20 years and it takes forever. It's just, they're probably having contractor problems.
And to be fair, a lot of the, like, the uniforms and ships and stuff look different, so maybe in that wipe between those scenes, while the music is swelling, there's been 10 years past or 15 years past or something like that. It's, I think that's a reasonable explanation because all the technology suddenly looks different and more like the what we remember from the 70s.
I think it's way more likely they just had a spare. Like, it gets destroyed and he's like, oh, thank God, I have another one of these. You know, and then they float that up and it's like, this one still needs to be finished.
Yet. Just like in Contact.
Contact, yeah. Well, then I'll show you.
Yeah.
Want to take a ride? All said and done, I did like this one. But it's because it's action packed. There's several good strong characters. Jar Jar Binks says one word the whole thing, which maybe is one word too much, but still, it's making up for it. If I were to tell someone who's never seen these three prequels, I honestly would say start with Revenge of the Sith because at least there's action sequences. At least you kind of can get into the story somewhat as long as you don't pay attention to Padme.
Yeah. Stupid Padme.
Another thing that I really liked about this one is the acting overall, I think was better. Action sequences, I agree, were great. I don't know if it was the development in terms of technology, but they just seemed higher quality in the third one.
All the CG looked better. Yeah, I've complained about that the whole time, but everything CG looked better this time.
It was completely solid. And once again, I thought Yoda was pretty cool.
Well, you know what this means. By getting this one out of the way, we're 3 down, 3 to go, which means we get to see episode 4, A New Hope. So please, for all of our Jump Drive audience, don't go away. Matter of fact, you should be watching these movies along with us. I think that's probably a good idea. So you have it fresh in your mind when you see us picking these things apart. So.
And you can always join in the conversation via the forums if you disagree with something we said or don't think we gave somebody a fair chance. I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, for Amber, Nick, Lisa, this is Todd saying,
stay hopeful.
Check out next week's episode at jumpdriveradio.com.
So, I hope to see you there.
Oh, yes!